The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Susan Dellinger from the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next hour, I'll be reading to you from Oprah Magazine, November 2019, Volume 20, Number 10, and this is the fourth of five installments in November. On this month's cover, Oprah wears a black form-fitting button-front low V-neck sweater dress. Her hair is long and smooth, and she wears polished natural golden and black stone teardrop-shaped earrings. This month's headlines are A Cure for Loneliness, My All-Time Favorite Turkey Recipes, and I'm Sharing One of the Most Joyful Experiences of My Life. And let's start out with, from the Feeling Good section of the magazine, part three of three from Martha Beck this month, Coming Home. One day, Erin Hartz hopes to find her soulmate, but at this very moment, life coach Martha Beck says, there's another route to ecstatic union, stillness. Erin Hartz, 39, came to O Life Coach Martha Beck wanting to break her pattern of choosing emotionally unavailable romantic partners. However, her journey took an unexpected turn when she told Martha that she'd been sexually abused between the ages of 5 and 13 by another girl. The experience was a source of shame, but also of much needed attention at a time when Erin felt deeply lonely at home. To this day, she harbors anger towards her parents, particularly her mother, about this part of her past. Erin says, quote, I never once thought of telling my mom, I don't think I felt safe enough, end of quote. She also never learned that it was important to respect her physical space and felt it was her job to meet her mother's needs for attention and affection, not the other way around. Martha says, quote, Given this pattern, you don't defend your boundaries. Everything is secret. How can you feel safe going into any relationship? End of quote. As a step toward healing, Erin decided to be honest with her mother about the abuse. To find out what happened, let's check in on her final session. Martha, Erin, how are you doing? Erin, I have a lot to share today. I ended up telling both of my parents about the sexual abuse. Martha, that's amazing. Erin, I worked on a script beforehand like you advised and told them about how the experience negatively affected me. I tried not to get too emotional about it. I just connected the dots between the way things were in our family and the fact that I'd never felt safe enough to talk to anyone about the abuse. Then I told my parents that I don't want to be treated like a child anymore. Martha, it's so interesting because as you're talking, your voice is actually sounding different. It's less girlish, lower, and more powerful. I think you're shifting the energy that was stuck inside you, and the adult Erin is standing up for the little girl you were. Erin, I've been working on that with my new therapist. I was actually planning to tell my mom about the abuse in one of my sessions so my therapist could be there to help her work through it. But that plan wasn't practical logistically, and I was really ready to do it, so I decided to tell both of them myself. They were pretty calm, and I was thankful. At first, my mom was like, I'm so sad that happened, and she seemed to be fine. Later in the week, I checked in to see how she was doing, and she said she felt guilty that she didn't realize what was going on. I told her I knew she would never have wanted me to go through anything like that, and that I knew she loved me, but I can't say the understanding between us lasted. She's since told me that she has empathy for me, but what happened isn't her fault. I'm right back to that place where I feel like her feelings are more important than mine. Martha, honey, I'm sorry, but even though you can't change your mother, the most important thing right now is to help the little girl who's still inside you learn to set boundaries. If you don't do that, she can't become healthy and learn to trust other people. As that happens, you can get to your original goal, which is to find a loving romantic partner. That's something. Wait, let's stop for a minute. When I said romantic partner, something immediately changed. Your energy just seemed to fizzle out. Aaron, did it really? Martha, yeah, it was like I could feel little Aaron inside going, I'm not quite ready for that, please. I'm not sure I can hold boundaries and discern who's good for me and who's not, and have the power to tell somebody who's not good for me to go away. Until you have that peace, it's not safe to date because you'll let anyone in. This is what happened to you when you were little. You had a friend who gave you love of a sort when you were starved for it, and you said, okay, I'll take anything. That connection was enough to save you from dying of grief, but it was also really damaging, and to heal, you need some breathing space. Aaron, I think I did feel scared when you mentioned the idea of dating, because I need to make sure I'm really as stable as I claim to be right now. It's going to take a couple of months, maybe a couple of years. Martha, it will take as long as it takes, but you don't have to work on anything else. I just want to say, the way you're talking about this and putting the puzzle pieces together in your mind is very intelligent. Aaron, I'm ready to reckon with my past. In this work that I'm doing now with my therapist, I feel that I'm actually connecting with my inner child. I know it sounds woohoo, but I can't deny it. It's like a mystical experience. Martha, I think everyone has the desire to connect with the mystical realm, but Western culture says it isn't cool and tends to squash it out of us so people dismiss it. But it probably feels like one of the truest, most important things that's ever happened to you. Aaron, it does. I've always been drawn to the spiritual. Martha, how does your connection to the divine play out in your life? Aaron, I pray every day. About a year ago, I began adding meditation. It's hard to put into words, but I feel like I have deep faith. My teaching job ended recently, and I'm not sure what's happening next, but I know everything will be all right. Martha, as you may have heard me say, tracking your purpose is like tracking an animal. You need to stay alert for signs of life and follow them one after another. Before you know it, you're forging a path. As you forge ahead into this mysterious existence, meditation helps you stay attuned to what feels deeply true for you. And that's how you know you're on to something. There's also significant evidence that stillness and self-inquiry make the brain more receptive to the kinds of experiences we call mystical. The resonance you're feeling when you're able to connect with your younger self is a sign that you're right on track. Aaron, it feels like that. It really does. Martha, that inner child is the only one you'll ever need. My privilege is to jump in for a few sessions and say, have you considered this? But it's because you've been listening to your inner teacher that you've made all of this progress. Every day, I'd like to connect with that deep feeling of truth. Let meditation be a time when you sit back and allow it to tell you what it wants to do today. Is that what you've been doing? Aaron, a little bit. I try to surrender and give my will over to God as I recite and read prayers every morning. There's one I love from Marianne Williamson that says, I now open my mind to possibilities I have not dreamed of, to forces of life I have not allowed in, and to realms of joy I have hardly imagined. I let go. May I awaken from the dream of my inadequate self. Martha, one of my favorite spiritual teachers, says her only prayer is show me. Show me. Show me what to do. Show me what life's about. Show me. You're shifting from innocent victim to seeker of your true purpose, and it's happening amazingly quickly. How do you feel in your body right now? Aaron, it feels like I'm in the middle of nature, very peaceful and at ease, like I'm at home. Martha, that's wonderful. Notice that feeling and commit to finding it every day. That's how you figure out what to do next. And as you take care of your younger selves and come into feeling healed, I promise you, the relationship thing will solve itself. Aaron, that's what I think too. Martha, when you're ready, you'll know. You may have a sudden, magnetic, intense desire to post on a dating website, or more likely, you'll just want to join a writing group and you'll meet someone there. Things will roll out the way they're meant to. Aaron, I've been feeling this pull to go to Sedona, Arizona for some time, for some reason. It would be a 7-hour drive, but I think I could do it. Martha, that's a great example of just listening to whatever's calling you. When I started living this way, I called it leaf in the stream behavior. I just decided to be like a leaf in the stream, floating along, going to whatever random place I felt I wanted to. And then when I was there, really good things would happen. Have you ever read Eckhart Tolle's The Power of Now? Aaron, yes, I love his books. Martha, when he had the idea for The Power of Now, which was his first book, as you probably know, he felt compelled to leave England, where he was living at the time, and go to California. When he got there, he had this strong impulse to write. The words came flowing out. It was like he had to be on a certain part of the earth for that book to come through him. So I say go to Arizona. You have no idea where your life's going to take you. But if you follow that feeling, you'll head to the right place. You've done so much already. I'm so humbled to have been part of it. Aaron, thank you. That means a lot to me. Martha, I mean it. You're an extraordinary person. Aaron, thanks for your magic. Martha, my dear, the magic was all yours. Martha Beck is the author of most recently, Diana Herself, An Allegory of Awakening. Let's head over now to the Let's Eat section of the magazine, and we have the fast or fancy version for this month, which is roasted vegetable soup. This hearty puree from David Frankel, co-author of Little Green Kitchen, is here to brighten your winter menu. And we're looking down at a tabletop with several earthen bowls full of this soup, which looks like it might have carrots and pumpkin in it. So it's kind of an orangey yellow pureed soup, and sprinkled on top are some croutons and some very small kale leaves. The fancy, with a balanced blend of sweet and savory veggies, cubes of squidgy cheese, and crumbles of crispy kale, Frankel's multi-textured meal is a healthy one you'll crave. Roasted vegetable soup with halloumi croutons. This makes 4 servings for a total time of 45 minutes. Preheat oven to 400 degrees. On a baking sheet lined with parchment paper, place 2/3 pound each of cauliflower, trimmed and cut into large chunks, carrots, peeled and cut into large chunks, and cooking pumpkin, like sugar or Cinderella, peeled and cut into large chunks, along with 1 onion peeled and quartered and 2 garlic cloves peeled and smashed. Drizzle with 2 tablespoons of olive oil and sprinkle with 1 teaspoon of sea salt, 1 teaspoon of cinnamon, and 1/2 teaspoon of cumin. And toss until the vegetables are coated in oil and spices, and roast until slightly charred, about 30 minutes. Reduce oven to 325 degrees. Tear 3 kale leaves into smaller pieces, discarding the stems. Coat in olive oil. Sprinkle with salt and a pinch or 2 of chili powder to taste. On another baking sheet lined with parchment paper, bake kale until edges are brown, 10 to 15 minutes, and set aside. Meanwhile, in a medium saucepan over medium-high heat, warm 3 cups of vegetable stock until simmering. Transfer vegetables to a blender, pour in the stock, and blend until smooth. Or use an immersion blender to combine stock and vegetables in the saucepan. Add 1/4 cup regular or plant-based milk and 1 tablespoon of apple cider vinegar. Taste, and if needed, add milk for creaminess, water to thin, or spices. In a non-stick skillet over medium heat, warm 1 teaspoon of olive oil and fry 7 ounces of halloumi cubed for 1 to 2 minutes per side until golden. Serve soup with kale chips on top and halloumi croutons on the side. And now, here's the fast version. Super simple. And that's S-O-U-P-E-R, simple. Shredded aged cheddar is a fine swap for the halloumi, since it's similarly firm and salty. Sprinkle about 2 to 3 tablespoons over each serving. And for the kale, Rhythm Superfoods organic chips come in zippy flavors like Cool Ranch and Zesty Nacho that'll instantly embolden your bowl. $6, go to rhythmsuperfoods.com for stores. Let's head now to the reading room. And we have the review of a couple of books here. The review is entitled The Rising, Two Extraordinary New Books Speak Truth to Power. The New York Times writers who brought down an untouchable mogul document their remarkable process. The first book is called She Said. Of the many important revelations to emerge in Jodi Kantor and Megan Twohey's groundbreaking and unputdownable She Said, the most compelling is that above all, the Harvey Weinstein story was the result of a brave collaboration between Weinstein's victims and the journalists, activists, and good citizens who came forward despite threats to their livelihoods and reputations. For any who believe that reporters are cynical about the business of journalism, Kantor and Twohey stand as proof of its integrity. Acutely aware of the strong-arm tactics Weinstein was willing to deploy to beat back accusers and the media, they ran toward the fire. In the course of their year-long investigation, Weinstein hired former Israeli intelligence operatives to try to halt their probing. They were contacted by so-called women's advocates planted by Team Weinstein to hoodwink Kantor and Twohey as a ploy to sabotage their work and undermine their victims' stories, but they didn't bite. They traveled the world to connect with ex-employees who were terrified to speak up. Time and again, they thought they'd persuaded someone to go on the record, only to have them change their mind, fearing the consequences. She Said is irrefutable evidence of how hard it is to hold a rich and powerful man accountable. Step by step, it documents the determination, shoe leather, and outright courage required. But perhaps the most profound takeaway is how women banded together to finally bring Weinstein down, with Ashley Judd leading the charge. Quote, "I have to know the hill on which I'm willing to die," end of quote, Judd told a group of Weinstein victims and Brett Kavanaugh accuser Christine Blasey Ford, who'd gathered at Gwyneth Paltrow's Brentwood, California home to share their stories, going on to say, quote, "The equality of the sexes is that hill for me," end of quote. The next book is called Know My Name. The survivor at the center of the Stanford rape case chronicles her journey in a harrowing memoir. One night in January 2015, a brutal crime played out in the shadows of leafy, affluent Palo Alto, California. Caught in the act of sexually assaulting an unconscious woman next to a dumpster, the attacker, Brock Turner, was a lantern-jawed All-American swimmer and Stanford University freshman. In the drawn-out legal proceedings that followed, the 22-year-old, passed out beneath him, was rechristened Emily Doe. Now with Know My Name, Chanel Miller takes back her identity in a chilling and ultimately triumphant memoir that reveals how she has moved on from victim to writer and activist. The UC Santa Barbara graduate had joined her sister and friends for a girls' night, dropping by a Stanford fraternity party where Miller blacked out after numerous drinks. She awoke in a hospital, confused, pine needles in her hair and bruises on her arms, with nurses swabbing her vagina. Turner's family hired a team of blue-chip lawyers who fought Miller at every turn through a bureaucratic maze of innuendo and privilege. Turner's father complained that his son's future was jeopardized by, quote, 20 minutes of action, end of quote. The prosecutor, a clear-eyed and compassionate woman, warned Miller, "Brock will get to write the script." When Turner was convicted but sentenced to only 6 months in county jail and 3 years probation, it seemed he had. But here Miller flips that script, assembling a collage of court transcripts, personal history, and dawning fierceness. In a court statement that went viral, Miller wrote, quote, This ugliness was something I never asked for, end of quote. And yet, once she did raise her voice, quote, an incredible thing happened. The world did not plug up its ears. It opened itself to me, end quote. Know My Name evokes a woman whose spirit hasn't been broken, a study in what it means to strike back, not in revenge, but in reclamation. And we have one more book review here. The review is entitled Light the Way. Astronaut Sally Ride once said, quote, you can't be what you can't see, end of quote, lamenting how hard it is for the marginalized to thrive without role models. In the book of Gutsy Women, Hillary and Chelsea Clinton exalt badass trailblazers, familiar and hidden figures who, quote, set out to become exactly what they couldn't see, end of quote. More than a tour of feminism's greatest hits, this compendium is infused with the Clintons' personal experiences, musing on World War II photojournalist Margaret Burke White. Hillary bemoans how Margaret's husband's urging that she quit her job to bear a child imperiled her success and expresses relief that she never had to make that choice. With intimate dialogue between the authors, the book feels like a torch passing. It's moving to witness the woman who was almost our first female president bond with her daughter over these pioneers, a hint at what could have been, yes, but also at what inevitably will be. Still in the reading room, we have a story, long story short, It Took a Village. When she was 11, author Sarah Smarsh discovered firsthand that charity begins at home. We were rich in cassette tapes and vinyl records purchased for a dime at yard sales in the Kansas heat. Reba McEntire, George Strait, The Carpenters, Loretta Lynn, The Supremes. Somewhere in the world, apparently, music was being digitized on something called CDs, but buying a CD player and shifting an entire music collection to the new medium wasn't for the likes of us. It was 1991, and I was still playing tapes on a pink 80s boombox and records on a brown 1978 Fisher-Price portable player. I'd spent most of my childhood out in the country, a long drive west of Wichita, where my family had farmed wheat and raised cattle for five generations. After my parents divorced in 1989, though, they moved to separate apartments in town. Mom would drop me off at the mall when she had an appointment. Babysitters were expensive. And I'd swipe a cassette single from the racks of Camelot Music. Mariah Carey, Paula Abdul. I knew it was stealing, but I couldn't say I thought it was wrong. What I'd gained from two songs played over and over seemed greater than the $1.99 the company would lose. When my sixth grade teacher announced a candy fundraiser, I perked up. If I sold enough, I could win a black three-deck stereo system, including a radio, dual tape players with the coveted record function for copying cassettes, and live radio, and a turntable with a hinged lid. There was no CD player, but it looked fancier than anything I'd ever owned. The candy catalog was a gallery of sweets unlike any I'd encountered. Ritzy butter mints, hazelnut creme chocolates, and exotic nuts priced higher than what we spent on a pair of shoes. In my community of airplane factory workers and food stamp recipients, springing for a 50-cent vending machine Hershey bar was a treat. I imagined showing up at their doors peddling candy mint for crystal dishes in mirrored foyers. At home that night, I approached my first customer, Grandma Betty. She'd had a long day counseling parolees at the courthouse downtown, not far from our four-room brick house, where my grandparents spent evenings watching Law and Order while her cigarette burned in an ashtray on the nightstand next to their waterbed. Grandma was making dinner, probably peeling potatoes or running water over a frozen pack of pork chops from a pig we'd butchered and wrapped the winter before. She dried off with a dish rag and flipped through the catalog with unwrinkled hands. She was 46, having been just 34 when her teenage daughter announced she was pregnant with me. Prices are outrageous, I offered. With Grandma Betty, no cost went unscrutinized, and I thought it helpful to preempt her consumer outrage. Put me down for 2 toffees, 2 buttermints, and 2 mixed nuts, she said. It may have been the good cause of my education, but something made her willing to pay too much for 6 boxes of candy. Now I had to sell only 94 more. Every evening for a week, I canvassed our neighborhood with my roster of gourmet treats. The chill of fall made my nose run. I tucked my ears into my white sox cap and wiped snot onto the sleeve of my red and black flannel from the Dollar General. I eased open chain link fences and talked pit bulls back. I pushed the doorbells of houses so busted that the pressure of my 11-year-old finger could almost have knocked them over. At one rickety house, no one answered, but I heard commotion inside. I rapped again. A child opened the door in his underwear. Behind him, a little girl was jumping on the sofa where a television blared. "Mom!" the boy yelled before I could say anything. A young woman with messy brown hair emerged from the kitchen. "I'm selling candy for a school fundraiser," I said, craning my head. The woman glanced at the pamphlet I gave her. "Let me get my checkbook," she said. "Do you want to come in?" I waited as she grabbed her purse, yelling at the kids, "Get off that couch if you can't sit on it." I wrote down her order for one item. When she handed me the check for $10, her eyebrows drew together like something troubled her, but the rest of her face smiled at me. It was a look I'd see time and again. At house after house, front doors unlatched and old hinges creaked. I ran out of space on my order forms and started tracking sales on notebook paper. When the fundraiser ended, I handed my teacher an envelope thick with checks, cash, and order forms. He tallied the results on the chalkboard, every student's name and marks for every item sold. My row of chalk marks stretched across the board. No one else's was close. I looked around the room of bored faces and realized, flush with embarrassment, that what I'd taken seriously, so seriously, I'd asked people to cough up money they didn't have, most others had blown off. But I didn't care about that when weeks later it arrived. Shiny big speakers, multiple buttons and dials. The stereo my neighbors had bought for me. And there's a picture here of the author, Sarah Smarsh. She has long blonde hair. She's wearing a brown denim shirt and some brown jeans in this picture. And then there's a picture of her as a middle school student standing on the front porch of her grandparents' Kansas farmhouse. Let's look now at the beautiful section of the magazine. And the first page is all this glittering, glowing, jewel-looking eyeshadow palette from Bobbi Brown. And there are 7 colors here. I think we see a few of them, not all of them here. One's a deep, deep chocolate. They're all sparkly. Another's kind of a milk chocolate. One's a teal that's so deep, it's hard to even tell it's teal. And a plum that is so dark, it's hard to call it plum. More of a copper shade below that and kind of a rose gold. And then more of a creamy color. But this page just glitters because we're headed into the holiday season. All eyes on you. If new jewels aren't in the cards right now, the Bobbi Brown Luxe Eyeshadow Palette, $75, go to Nordstrom.com to find out more, is an enticing and decidedly more budget-friendly alternative. 7 sumptuous gemstone-inspired shadows in one show-stopping package. Mix and match the festive but wearable shades, or swipe your favorite across your lid in one easy stroke. Either way, you'll look good as gold. And the packaging is gold and faceted and shiny. And now let's look at the mood board. And we have a close-up picture here of a model who has darker skin tones. It's not quite sure if she's African-American or possibly Indian subcontinent. And so she's got this deep, dark teal on her eyelids and a nice rosy kind of blush pink on her lips, and she's got a hand up against her cheek with a sparkly kind of milk chocolatey color nail polish. Mood board, mystical. You don't have to wish upon a star to look out of this world. With iridescent skincare, dreamy cosmetics, and ethereal fragrances, you're sure to cast a spell. The secret of silky skin is revealed. You just need a dollop of a buttery, texture-transforming moisturizer. Help make crow's feet disappear with a potent eye serum containing flower-derived anti-agers. Try a little makeup magic. Brush richly pigmented eyeshadow across your lids, conjure cheekbones with shimmery highlighter, and swipe on a lipstick with stellar shine, the perfect finishing touch for any after-dark look. As evening looms, it's time for a spritz of scent. Notes of citrus, patchouli, and amber make for a beguiling combination. And first off, we have pictured here the Dior Capture Dream Skin Care and Perfect, $115 for 1 ounce at Dior.com. And it's a pale, pale pink that's almost white canister with Capture Total and Dream Skin logos on it. And beside that is an almost rectangular, deep, deep midnight blue bottle with a gold label, Eli Tahari Night Eau de Parfum, $128 for 3.4 ounces at Macy's.com. And next is a black pot here with a white outline of a quarter moon on top and like handwriting that says Lunar Veil. Erin Stovall, Associate Beauty Editor, says of the Exo Face Care Lunar Veil Overnight Mask, which is $159, a mask that brings tired skin back to life almost instantly and leaves behind the faintest seductive aroma. And below that, we have some intense dark pink sparkly lipstick, MAC Cosmetics Kiss of Stars Lipstick in Kiss of Stars, $20. And beside that, we have a little black compact Ritual to Fill Metamorphic Highlighter in the High Priestess, $32. And it's a pale pink. And then beside that, we have a small sort of yellow glass bottle with a gold lid, Tata Harper Elixir Vitae Eye Serum, $295 at TataHarper.com. And the last item on the page is about a dozen or more Sigma Beauty Enchanted Eyeshadow Palette. So this is about a dozen colors of eyeshadow, and they range from a pale kind of highlighter creamy color to sparkly gold, pink, darker pinks, magenta, rose golds, forest green, and then kind of into the deep plums and browns. And that is $49 at SigmaBeauty.com. And in the Love That section of the magazine, let's look at the page full of great buys under $100. A little bit of a traditional plaid, almost preppy look with lots of medium blues, kind of bright, well, I'd say Duke blue, but it's a little bit more of that kind of bright blue for the University of Kentucky, if there are any Wildcat fans out there. We're detecting a pattern. Well, a few, actually. That'll bring some pep to your fall wardrobe. The style icon is shown here, and it's Priyanka Chopra Jonas in New York City. And we have the model is wearing a deep teal blue slender pants with a blue and black plaid shirt over that. And then the coat that hits right at knee level being worn over that is an oversized black Glen plaid on a white background with a blue stripe through it, black leather, notched collar, and trim around the big patch pockets. The item at the top of the page is a maroon, medium blue, and white sweater with navy blue ribbed detailing at the neck, down the front, across the hem, and at the sleeves, and antique brass buttons. And it is being shown over a maroon ribbed stand-up collar sweater. The cardigan's $99. The maroon sweater is $45. The subtitle says, sure, this checkered cardi is cozy, but it's also figure flattering since it hits just below the waist. Cardigan is from One State at Nordstrom, and the turtleneck is from The Gap. And over to the side of that, we have a pair of flat front khakis, and they have inset side pockets, and there's a black stripe that runs down the side from the waist to the hem, down the side, almost like a tuxedo stripe, and then it has another khaki color stripe centered on that. Casual, but oh so cool. The side lines on these khakis give them a fresh, sporty look. BananaRepublic.com, and they're $99. Also at the top of this page, we have a coat that hits above the knee length. It's above the knee. It's double-breasted, and it is in that bright blue and white plaid. This bright double-breasted topper is the perfect weight for crisp autumn days, from Pop Sugar at Kohl's, and it's $88. And we have this bucket bag, and it is a light blue and black and white and gray plaid, kind of oversized plaid, and it has a black strap that goes from the bottom of the bucket bag, creates a handle, and it goes all the way over the other side down to the bottom with a brass buckle. A trendy round bucket bag in classic plaid is a playful pick for weekend fun. It's from violetandbrooks.com, and it's $98. Then we have a pair of black and white Glen plaid sandals. They've got about a 3.5-inch chunky heel, about a 1-inch wide strap in Glen plaid, of course, that goes across the toes. And the Glen plaid covers the heel. It's a little bit at an angle. And then there's a skinny ankle strap. The entire shoe is in this black and white Glen plaid. And a Glen plaid is really little stripes of houndstooth. So there's skinny stripes, and then you have about 4 or 5 larger houndstooth stripes that give you that plaid effect. And frequently you'll have another color running through there in just one stripe. In this case, they've got a little bit of red. They are $40. The subtitle says, Glen plaid makes a sandal seasonally appropriate. Try this one with tights. Kelly and Katie at DSW.com. Another item up on the top of the page. Ground your look with a faux fur scarf in a versatile camel. So you've got this light tan plush wrap scarf. It's just, and it's interlocking, so it's kind of a short overlap and will stay up close next to your neck. And then at Target, we have this dress for $28. It's kind of looking a little bit like a leopard print. It's a maroon color with little intense, almost periwinkle blue colors on it. It's a thin, billowy, gauzy fabric. Has a V-neck top and a fitted waist. The top is very much like a fitted blouse, with long sleeves that have deep cuffs, so you get a little bit of billowing and fullness in the sleeve. Then the skirt has these little knife pleats ironed into it from the waist to about the knee level, giving kind of a ruffle of about 8 or 10 inches at the bottom of the dress, where you don't have the little knife pleats ironed into it. They show the $28 dress with a $99, about 2-inch wide maroon color belt with a big gold buckle. The belt is originally $142, and to make it a great buy under $100, it's now $99 with code OPRA99 at b-lowthebelt.com. Then they've got a pair of earrings here. They are a flat gold tone hoop that's maybe about 3/8 inch wide, 3/4 inch round, if you will. They're on a post so that the hoop comes up behind the ear but isn't continuous. And then there's your more classic kind of hoop that's a small tube, cylinder tube that's in a circle, a hoop, and that's been intersected into the gold one. So you've got this gold on silver. Silver or gold, architectural interlocking hoops offer the beauty of both. Jenny-Bird.com, and those are $85. And we have one last item on this page, which is a wrap skirt, very much a preppy blanket skirt with fringe. And the wrap is kind of asymmetrical. Where it wraps across the front, it wraps at an angle. And the top part of the skirt has navy blue and maroon stripes, and the bottom part has maroon and winter white stripes. And that's $80 at H&M. And let's look now at the Live Your Best Life section of the magazine. And this article is called The Beauty of Giving. We found 4 radiant women, each devoted to making her community a bit happier and healthier, and each deserving of a chance to stand in the spotlight. Tamekia Swint, founder and executive director of Styles for Kids. And Tamekia is putting cornrows in a little girl's hair. In the picture here. The very first model whose hair Tamekia Swint worked on was one of her brothers, used as her guinea pig for individual braids and cornrows. Eventually, she graduated to a doll head that her mom bought for her. And when she went off to study community health at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign, she carved out time each week for the 2-hour drive back home to Chicago's South Side to learn advanced skills like weaving and sewing. Jokes Swint, quote, "I was really supposed to be studying during that time, but I was willing to make that sacrifice," end of quote. Today, she oversees a salon in nearby Oak Park. Perhaps unsurprisingly, Swint 43 caters to African American clients. Perhaps surprisingly, a majority of them are tots who've been adopted by white parents. Swint launched her nonprofit Styles for Kids in 2010 to help non-black moms and dads, those who've adopted and those preparing to, learn about black hair. Says Swint, quote, "Most have never touched Afro texture hair before," end of quote. Swint leads hands-on workshops in everything from 2-strand twists to how to get a perfect part straight. She also offers freestyling to youngsters in foster care. She goes on to say, quote, "It can be emotional, and if a child's hair has become messed up and matted, a white parent definitely isn't walking into an African-American salon because they could be criticized. In the midst of that, the kids get lost." Adoptive mom Mary Du Bois was at a loss before meeting Swint in 2007. She says, quote, "I didn't know the right products or techniques," end of quote. Du Bois now lives in Spokane with daughters Anya, 16, Ariel, 14, and Naomi, 12. She goes on to say, quote, "I'd comb Anya's and Ariel's hair, but they'd cry and get so mad because it hurt. Then I'd get frustrated because after all the time and tears, it still didn't look right," end of quote. Swint got to work repairing the dry, tangled crowns, a process that required visits about every 3 weeks for almost a year, and restoring the girls' spirits. Du Bois says, quote, "They always felt proud when Tamekia was done. They'd rush upstairs and check themselves out in the mirror," end of quote. Styles for Kids is more than a hotspot for deep conditioning and Bantu knots. It's a sanctuary where adoptive families can socialize with neighbors who look like them. Swint says, quote, For some of the kids I serve, I'm the only African-American person they've gotten to know on a personal level. They ask me for advice and share stories. The salon is the safe place where that can happen, end of quote. And next is the story of Jackie Vanderbeck, founder of Sing for Your Seniors. Long before 38-year-old Jackie Vanderbeck played Eliza Doolittle in My Fair Lady at Original Theater in New Orleans or sang with the Tokyo Philharmonic, she regularly belted her heart out for a devoted audience of one, her great-grandma Dee Dee. Even after Dee Dee moved into a group home when Vanderbeck was 19, the command performances continued, Vanderbeck says. I would sing to her, and then the person next door would come and listen, then another and another. Of course, Dee Dee encouraged them, end of quote. After graduating from the University of Cincinnati's Music Conservatory in 2003, Vanderbeck headed to New York City and threw herself into auditioning for Broadway, off-Broadway, and regional shows. She says, quote, "You sing 16 or 32 bars, and then you're done." Within a year or so, I started to forget what I loved about being a theater artist, and that scared me to death. Plus, I was surrounded solely by young people and felt this void. Where are my elders? End of quote. Vanderbilt emailed senior centers to volunteer her skills, and one in Manhattan's West Village bit. She serenaded her first audience with four songs a cappella. Soon she was crooning ditties from classical musicals like Carousel and The Sound of Music Weekly. A few months later, she roped in another singer friend and asked her then roommate, a Broadway pianist, to accompany them. Vanderbeck says, quote, "Theater people do the same songs 8 times a week without ever knowing whether they've moved anybody. After our sessions at the senior center, at least one performer always thanked me for reminding them why they do what they do," end of quote. Today, Vanderbeck's nonprofit, Sing for Your Seniors, organizes about 6 gigs a month at 14 New York area locations. Close to 200 volunteer vocalists razzle-dazzle in hospitals, hospice wards, and assisted living homes. Vanderbeck says, quote, "When we go to the dementia unit at the Actors Fund Home in Englewood, New Jersey, we get to sing to the people who taught us this language, like original cast members from Golden Era Broadway shows. They might not remember their own names, but they know every word to Somewhere Over the Rainbow," end of quote. Dee Dee died in 2005, but Vanderbeck believes her great-grandma would be proud. Vanderbeck says, quote, "I'm sure if I told her what I'm doing now, she'd give me a huge hug and then a piece of peanut brittle," end of quote. And there's a big picture here of Vanderbeck at a Sing for Your Seniors session at the Swinging 60s Senior Center in Brooklyn. She's surrounded by an audience, and she's kneeling down beside a gentleman, and she has a microphone in her hand. And then there's a set-in picture, cast members from Broadway's Chicago at Encore Community Services in Manhattan. And they're wearing their regular street clothes, and there are about a half a dozen of them all making the same dance moves as they sing. And next, we have Jessica White, founder of Gracie's Gowns. Spending days and nights in a hospital can make anyone anxious. For the youngest patients, it can be even more unnerving and confusing. Jessica White knows this all too well. In 2012, the Ruther Glen, Virginia mom's 19-month-old daughter, Madeline, fell from her sister's bunk bed. White, who'd volunteered with a rescue squad and as a hospital aide for 10 years, rushed her to the ER to be checked for a concussion. White says, quote, "She was so out of it, so uncomfortable. She hated being hooked up to the brain activity monitor and cried until it was taken off," end of quote. To make matters worse, the toddler had to remain in dirty clothes because the hospital didn't stock gowns small enough to fit her. White, 33, says she'd thrown up and spilled ketchup on herself. "I would have settled for something 10 sizes too big," end of quote. When Madeline was released after 3 days, White asked her friend Crystal, who'd lost a daughter to cancer, whether she thought custom-made gowns might soothe hospitalized youngsters, especially those facing long-term treatment. The answer was yes, and Gracie's Gowns, named for Crystal's child, soon launched. 7 years later, White and volunteers have stitched more than 5,500 gowns for tots and teens in all 50 states and 17 countries from Brazil to Ukraine. A 2016 L'Oréal Paris Women of Worth honoree, White has decorated gowns with footballs, strawberries, mermaid tails, even rain boots for a boy who loves jumping in petals. Each donated, made-to-order garment is embroidered with the child's name. Scraps are turned into items such as chemo bag covers and reusable face masks. White's one-of-a-kind creations have buoyed Samantha Benz and her daughter, Emily, who was born with a congenital diaphragmatic hernia. Benz says, quote, "Emily spent close to 300 days in the hospital during her first year, so I wanted something cheerful," end of quote. Emily's gown was green with colorful flowers. Now five, she received a second one that was purple and My Little Pony themed last summer. For Benz, they're not just cover-ups. Benz says, quote, "Everyone coming into Emily's hospital room can talk to her about what's on her gown. It breaks down the barrier between doctor and patient," end of quote. That's White's mission exactly. White says, quote, "With a special gown, these kids become more than a diagnosis or a room number," end of quote. And there's a picture of White sitting at her sewing machine. And our last profile is of Beth Zimmerman, founder of Pets for Patriots. What does an active military member or veteran have in common with an abandoned dog? Actually, a lot in the eyes of Beth Zimmerman, who says, quote, "Overlooked animals typically come to shelters with rocky histories. Many have been abused. Many of our veterans have rocky histories, too, and complicated emotional needs. They may be different species, but they share complementary desires for unwavering love and companionship," end of quote. A former architect, Zimmerman, 56, grew up on Long Island in a home with at least one beloved rescue dog at almost any given time. Her father was in the Air Force. She says, quote, "We were taught to care about those who fought and died for our freedom," end of quote. Fittingly, on Memorial Day 2009, after talking with a family friend who'd served in World War II, Zimmerman got the idea for what would ultimately become Pets for Patriots, PFP, a nonprofit that connects tough-to-place shelter animals with service members looking for a reliable mate. PFP has since facilitated about 2,500 adoptions. To be eligible, participants must adopt a cat or a dog that has special needs and is more than 2 years old, has been homeless for 6 months, or for dogs, weighs 40-plus pounds. In other words, the kind that are typically passed over. That feeling of neglect is something many vets can identify with. Zimmerman says, quote, "One airman returned from deployment to find that his wife had left him. He was devastated, so a friend persuaded him to visit a shelter where he saw a scarred, one-eyed dog cowering in the back. The morning after he was approved for our program, that airman was at the shelter before it even opened. He'd been abandoned, and so had that animal. They understood each other," end of quote. The nonprofit also helps with economic hurdles. Zimmerman says, quote, "Cost is one of the main obstacles for potential adopters," end of quote. So PFP asked hundreds of U.S. shelter and rescue groups to offer a reduced adoption fee. It also offers a $150 gift card towards supplies and partners with local veterinarians who agree to provide ongoing discounted care. Having helped pair so many vets and pets, Zimmerman's familiar with the life-altering magic of a perfect match. She says, quote, "An Army vet named Patrick adopted a pit bull, Oliver, who had been in the shelter for more than 450 days. Patrick was so moved by his love for his dog that he's transitioning into a full-time career in animal welfare. Oliver helped him identify his purpose. That's how powerful the animal-human bond can be," end of quote. And there's a picture of Zimmerman holding a senior rescue pit bull. And also, Jesus, an Army veteran, and his best pal, a little black and white dog named Logan. As we wrap up this installment, let's look at a couple of items from the O list this month. And if you're getting ready to party, we have a punch bowl here, and it's almost a sphere, almost round, with a little bit of a tapered base to it, and it has matching glasses. A glass act. This ultra-contemporary punch bowl set includes a ladle, 6 balloon tumblers, and the chance to get family a little more relaxed before sitting down to Thanksgiving dinner. LSA International Rum Punch Bowl Set, $200 at SaksFifthAvenue.com. Under the heading Furry Friend, we have a stack of 3 different colors of faux fur throws. Here, in no particular order, is what every human being needs: water, dogs, air, books, soup, and the world's best luscious faux fur throw. These machine washable 60 by 70 inch beauties from furrier extraordinaire Dennis Basso make a very posh present. They're $55 each at QVC.com. One is a rich sable brown, the other is a much lighter variegated tan, and another one is shades of gray. Then under the heading Gouda Idea, we have some very contemporary black cheese boards. They're wooden, black, and they've got a little sort of keyhole embellishment on the end. Dramatic, simple, and sleek, these black-stained mango wood boards can be used for food or serving appetizers, creating a cheese plate or making a sharp statement on your kitchen wall. Be Home Boards from $49 each at Dejuma.com. We've run out of time for today's episode of Oprah Magazine. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Susan Dellinger, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.